got your Bible this morning, go ahead and open up to Philippians. We're going to be in chapter 3 again, finishing the chapter, starting in verse 17. And as you do, I'll tell you a quick story. I was driving my three-year-old to school a couple weeks ago, and as I'm driving, I'm just sort of thinking about, you know, everything that's going on and heading down the road, and I hear this little high-pitched voice from the back seat pipe up and say, "Daddy, what are you doing?" And I said, what do you mean, what am I doing? What's going on, bud?" And he goes, "Daddy, you're going the wrong direction." And I looked at the road, and my three-year-old backseat driver was right. Right? I was going in the wrong direction. I was having one of those mornings that I'm sure that you've never had where there was just a lot of things on my mind and things were a little foggy and just unclear. And I wasn't thinking about what I was doing or really about where I was going. My mind was in the wrong place, and so my car ended up in the wrong place. But we quickly fixed it thanks to the help of a very intelligent little three-year-old boy. We got my mind in the right place. We got him to school, and everything was fine. And as the more I thought about that, the more I realized that when my mind isn't where it needs to be, when my mind is in the wrong place, I'm moving in the wrong direction. Right? And the opposite's also true. When my mind is in the right place, my life seems to be moving in the right direction. And that's a truth that we see in God's Word. We're going to see that this morning in our Bibles in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 17. God's Word says this: "Brothers, join in imitating me." That's key. Imitating me, following me, doing what I'm doing. "Join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us." Our first point from God's Word this morning, it's very clear. It's right here. It's follow faithful examples. If you're taking notes, that's number one. You and I, all of us, are called by God's Word to follow faithful examples. As Paul writes this letter to the church, to believers, to those that have trusted in Jesus, he's encouraging them to follow his faithful example. And this morning, we don't have time to rehash the whole letter here in Philippians, but before you think that Paul's a little arrogant or out of line or Paul's thinking sort of highly of himself here, we need to remember that he's been pretty transparent in this letter, that he's human, that he's made mistakes, that he hasn't arrived yet, but we also see that he is doing everything he can to follow the example of Jesus, and he's encouraging others to join him in that journey. So as we read this, we know that you and I personally, tangibly, in real life, are called to follow faithful examples, to live in a way that brings glory and honor to Christ. It's a simple concept, right? It's almost like having a mentor, right? Someone that would guide us, someone that we could follow through life. So the encouragement here, the challenge or the command from Scripture is to find a faithful example and follow them, right? But the natural question is this: how do I know that the person that I'm following is faithful? We're going to play a game to help us figure it out, right? We can play games in here. That's a good thing. It'll help us learn a little bit. So we're going to play Simon Says. If you know how to play Simon Says, play along with me. And if you don't, I promise you'll pick up really quick. Like, seriously, play with me or I'm going to feel really silly up here, okay? Simon Says, raise your hand. That's good. We know how to play. Simon Says, put your hand down. Touch your nose. What? All right, game over. All right, here, let me explain this to some of us, okay? You shouldn't have touched your nose just now, even though a lot of us did. Why not? Why shouldn't you have touched your nose? Simon didn't say, right? Simon didn't say. When you're playing Simon Says, you know which directions to follow because Simon either said or Simon didn't say. And so for us, when we're looking for faithful examples to follow, we're looking for people, for mentors, for people that are living their life according to what God's Word says, right? Not what Simon says. We're looking for people that are doing what God's Word says in every area of their life. We're not looking for people that have success in the eyes of the world. We're not looking for people that have the things that we want or that been the places that we want to go. We're looking for people that are living according to God's Word. Find godly people and learn from them. Be stretched by them. Grow with them. Begin to do what they do in every area of our lives, in marriage, in raising kids, Maybe if we're walking through middle school or high school or college right now, find godly people that are ahead of you, that are living according to God's word, and do what they do. Follow their example. When it comes to giving, when it comes to evangelism and telling other people about Jesus, find people that are doing it, that are living according to God's word, and be challenged by them as you follow their example. Find an example and follow it. I'll never forget on a mission trip to Chicago a couple of years ago, I was with a bunch of high school guys and Corey Grindle. Corey teaches a life group here at Champion Forest, and we were sitting down. We had just given our orders to the waitress. She walks away, and Corey looks at this table of guys and says, "Hey guys, when she comes back, tell her why we're here." Right? Tell her about the hope that we have in Jesus and share the gospel with her. And they looked at Corey like, "Wait, you want us to do what?" And Corey realized, well, they might not have ever seen this before. And so when she came back to the table, do you know what Corey did? He modeled it. Man, he introduced himself. He got to know her. He showed her that he cared for her and that he cared if she knew Jesus or not. And he so perfectly, lovingly shared the hope that we have in Jesus with her at the table in front of all of those guys, right? The waitress had a life-changing day that day, but so did everybody else at the table. I'll never forget that moment. And you know who else won't? Those high school guys that were sitting around the table. They had a model to follow. They had a picture of faithfulness, a picture of obedience. They saw someone that was doing what God's word had to say when it comes to loving the people around us, and they were able to go and do it as well. Find faithful examples, follow them, and live a life that brings glory to God. And here's the deal, right? None of us are exempt here. It doesn't matter if we're retired, if we're grandparents. It doesn't matter if we just stepped in to our sixth grade year of middle school. All of us are called to learn from people, to be challenged by other believers, and to follow their faithful examples. I want you to do a quick exercise in your notes there. If you're not taking notes, just do it in your mind. Write down or think about a faithful example in your life. Right? Go ahead. Take a minute. Think about a faithful example in your life. Someone that you're learning from, someone that you're being stretched by, someone that you're growing with in your walk in God's word. And now do this. Write down something that you've learned from them recently, right? An investment that they've made in you, a way that they've helped you to grow, right? Not something from 10 years ago or 5 years ago or a year ago. Write down a recent investment that they've made in your life. And here's the point. If you're drawing a blank right now, there's a very practical way to apply God's word to your life right here, right? Do what Paul says. Get someone in your life, someone that you can walk with, an example that you can follow, someone that you can grow with. Ask someone today to teach you, to disciple you, to mentor you when it comes to living a life according to God's word. Don't let your age stop you from doing what God's word has to say. Don't let your pride stop you from doing what God's word has to say. Follow faithful examples in your life. I'm telling you, it will change everything for you. Chelsea and I, a couple years ago, got connected to some pastors that are a little farther along in their journey, and the investment of these pastors and their wives in our life, it has been life-changing for us. We have grown so much. We have been stretched so much because we're doing our best to follow faithful examples. People that can tell us when we're doing it right and encourage us, and people that are telling us when we're doing it wrong that can point us back to God's word, right? Follow faithful examples, and I promise you, you're going to grow so much because of it. And before we move on from verse 17 to the next, I want to give you one more note on this verse, right? Paul, he's the guy that said, imitate me, right? He said, follow after me, because he lived in a way that honored Jesus. Can you say that? Can you look at the people around you and say, hey, follow me, because I'm following after Jesus? If the people around you in your life followed your example, would they grow closer to Jesus? Your neighbors, your coworkers, your classmates, your teammates. I mean, if our kids follow our example, are they going to grow closer to Jesus? If people followed our example when it comes to time in God's word, if people followed our example with our prayer life, and are they going to grow closer to Jesus? And I think it's an important and a fair question as we read this verse, because in our walk with Christ, yeah, we should have faithful examples that we follow, right? People that are setting the pace for us, but there should also be people coming behind us, people that we're training, people that we're discipling, people that we're investing in to help them grow in their walks with Christ as well. So this morning, if you would answer my question and say, no, don't have people look at me, right? Don't have people do what I do. Let me just challenge you, right? To take God's word and to do what it says, to take God's word and live by it so that you can be a faithful example as well. I think our first point needs to be expanded on a little bit, right? It's not just follow faithful examples. It's follow faithful examples and be a faithful example. All of us should follow someone and also be a faithful example, because the reality of it is this, right? There are plenty, Paul actually says in verse 18, many examples that you and I should not follow. Look at verse 18, right? Verse 18 says this, "For many whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears walk as enemies of the cross of Christ." They walk as enemies of the cross. Look at verse 19. Their end is what? Destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame. What their minds, think about this, what their minds set where? Their minds are set on earthly things. All right, our second point from God's word is this. It's very simple. Don't follow bad examples, right? That there's good and there's bad. Follow faithful examples and don't follow bad examples. And there's plenty of bad examples out there. I was doing a puzzle Friday afternoon with my three-year-old, and I tried to put a piece into the puzzle, and he looked at me when the piece didn't fit and dead serious, straight in the eye, said, "Dad, you're a weirdo." Humility is being called a weirdo by a three-year-old that absolutely means it with all of his heart in that moment, right? "Dad, you're a weirdo." And I said, "Buddy, don't call me a weirdo. And by the way, where did you learn to call someone a weirdo, right?" And he said, well, you know, he learned it from one of his grandmas, actually. I'm kidding. He learned it from an older brother who is always an incredible example, except in that moment, right? He followed a bad example and called his dad a weirdo. But here's the thing, right? We don't stay three forever. All of us grow up, right? We grow up and we get to places in life almost on a daily basis where the choices that we make are much more serious than that, right? We come to decision points. We come to forks in the road, and we've got to choose a direction that we're going to go. And I don't know about you, but this happens to me on a regular basis. We can follow godly examples and godly people in our lives, or we can follow bad examples that are mentioned right here that would lead us to a place of selfishness, chasing after the things of this world. Verse 18, these enemies of the cross are pretty obviously bad examples. And I want you to think about who they were, because it's not what you think, right? These enemies of the cross more than likely were people that would claim Jesus with their words and then deny Jesus with their lives. Did you hear that? They're people that would say the right things about Jesus, right? You'd hear their words and you would think, man, okay, right? They believe with me, they're going with me, but then they would turn around and deny Jesus with their lives. I hope you see what's going on here, right? They are people that don't walk the talk, right? We know faithful examples because they live not by what Simon says, but by what God's word says. And we know these enemies of the cross, we know bad examples by how they live as well. What does verse 19 say about how these enemies of the cross live? It says their God is their what? It says their God is their belly, right? And before you skip lunch today, this isn't a food thing, okay? These people are driven by a desire to fulfill earthly cravings and not a heavenly calling. Paul's essentially saying that these people, right, that are moving towards destruction are what? That they're selfish, okay? Their mind is in the wrong place, and so their life is going in the wrong direction. And we're probably thinking, okay, right, when he says enemies of the cross, that's a strong phrase. So probably these people are doing things that I would never consider doing. They're in a category all out here by themselves. And maybe there was some of that going on. But listen, the point that Paul's making is selfishness, right? It's selfishness, right? We see people going the wrong way, focused on themselves. Listen, in our context, it could be things as simple as people who live their life just binge-watching a bunch of shows and never getting up to serve or to love their neighbor, right? That's selfishness. It could mean people that have the means and the resources and they constantly buy themselves a lot of things while knowing that their friends or their neighbors or their family is in need and never doing anything to help them out. Listen, what is that? That's selfishness, right? That's what Paul's saying. These enemies of the cross are there selfishly chasing after the things of this world. Why? Look at verse 19. Where's their mind? Their minds are on earthly things, right? This is a major warning for the church. In verse 18, Paul said that he warned the church of these things often. He's reiterating something that he has already told them before. This isn't an off-the-cuff comment. This is a constant message that he's giving the church, and it's one that we need to listen to as well. Here's a question. Are there people today who would claim Jesus with their mouth, right? They would say we're followers of Jesus, but then would lead us away from him if we followed their example? I think we know the answer, right? Listen, as a church, as followers of Christ, we've got to be very careful to follow faithful examples and to avoid bad examples. And I want to give you one last note from verses 18 and 19. I want you to look at Paul's heart as he writes this, right? Paul's a believer. He's writing about people he calls enemies of the cross of Christ. And look at his tone as he writes. Does he speak about them with anger or with rage? Or is he condescending? Is he judgmental? Is he mean towards them in any way? I don't see that, right? Look at verse 18. It actually says that he is weeping on the page as he writes. Like his heart is broken to a place of tears. Why? Because he loves them. He cares about them, and he knows that they're missing the goodness of walking with Jesus Christ. He knows that they're missing the joy that comes from being in a relationship with Christ. Listen, this is real to him. He loves people, all people, right? He loves these people, and I hope and I pray that you and I do as well, right? That we're a church that's moving to bring people to Jesus, because today there are too many people, right, that claim Jesus, but then don't show the people that we're reading about right here the same love that Paul does. I want to be very clear, okay? If we are following faithful examples, we won't follow bad examples, but we will love them, okay? We'll love them. We'll encourage them. We'll invest in them, right? We'll try to connect them to the love that's found in knowing Jesus. So we have to be careful, right, to make sure that our words, that our attitudes, the things that we post, the things that we type, listen, all of that matters. It all matters. We've got to be careful to show love to people, the same love that Jesus has for people, the same love that Paul has for people, the same love that faithful examples have for people. We have to love people, right? So follow faithful examples. Don't follow the bad ones, but still love them. And for me, verse 20 is the key to doing just that. Look at verse 20. God's word says this, but our citizenship is where? You can say it. Our citizenship is in? It's in heaven. Our citizenship's in heaven. And from heaven, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to remember that the earth isn't our home. Right, if you're a believer in Jesus, God's word this morning plainly states that where's our home? Right, our home is in heaven, even while we live here on earth. Right, this letter was written to the church that was in the city called Philippi. Philippi, if you didn't know, was a colony of Rome, right? And it was just like Rome. People called it Little Rome sometimes, right? The language, the architecture, the mindset, the advantages of those that lived in Philippi were shared by the people of Rome, right? They had Roman citizenship and they were very proud of it. So as Paul writes, he's literally using the city that these people lived in as an illustration, hoping they would understand his point because they lived in Philippi, but they thought like Romans, right? They lived here and they thought like the people that were over here. And he's saying the same thing is true for the church, right? The church, the body of believers, the followers of Christ live on earth, but our minds and our hearts and our hope should be set on heaven. We live here, but we're a part of a heavenly kingdom with all of the amazing blessings that go with it. So let's do what this verse says and let our heart and our mind dwell on heaven and on Christ. And here's the amazing thing. The same way that Philippi reminded people of Rome, the church, that's us, that's me and you, right? All of us should remind people or point people towards heaven. People should look at our words, our actions. They should see the way that we take care of the vulnerable, the way that we care for orphans, the way that we do what is right, what is good, what is pure, what is true. They should see us, the way that we give to the poor, the way that we encourage and love one another with no partiality, no racism, no favorites. They should see us loving people and be reminded of what? And be reminded of heaven. Listen. Our time on earth is short. The Bible calls our time here, you look in the book of James, it calls our time a vapor. Our true home, our forever home, it's heaven. And it's so hard for us to wrap our minds around that. So incredibly hard to wrap our minds around that. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Imagine for a second that this rope represents our time, right? All the time that we've got. And this red part right here, just this short little bit, is our time on earth, right? What do you notice about our time on earth compared to everything else? Man, it's short. It's short. It does not last forever, right? This verse reminds us that we live here. We're in our time here. But our hope, our future, our eternity, it's all in heaven with Jesus, right? The person that we're waiting for, our Savior, right? We live here. Our minds need to be right here. Philippians 3:20 is a verse that for me puts life into perspective. And I've been praying this week that it's a verse that would put things into perspective for us as well, that would help us to slow down and step back and to really look at the big picture, because it's possible that there's times where we live our lives like this, right? Me included. And we're focused on what's going on right here, right now. And we forget about the big picture. We forget about the hope that we've got. We forget that our mind should be in heaven. Our hearts and our lives should be driven by heaven. And listen, when our mind is in the wrong place, our lives begin to move in the wrong direction. Right, God's word clearly reminds us here to zoom back, right? To look at everything that's going on, knowing that you and I are citizens of heaven. Don't get sucked in. When we get sucked in, we get stressed, we get worried, we get overwhelmed, we focus on the things of this world, we stop following faithful examples, we begin to follow the things of this world that would lead us away from our love relationship with Christ. When we can zoom out, right, when we can see the whole thing, the big picture, knowing that there's so much more for us as believers than just this short time on earth, when we know we've got heaven and a hope and a future waiting for us, let me just encourage you by saying that it changes everything about the way that we live our lives, the way that we spend time in God's Word, the way that we pray, the way that we love people, the priorities of our family, the way that we spend our money. Listen, the way that we tell other people about Jesus, everything is different. Everything is right and according to God's Word. When we remember that this earth isn't our home, right, that there's something after our time here on earth. Listen, if we walked through life realizing and remembering that, I guarantee you things would be different. I guarantee you that we'd walk across the street and share the hope and the good news that we have in Jesus with those that don't yet know Jesus. We live here. We live here, but our minds have to stay on heavenly and on eternal things. I want to share a quote with you by C.S. Lewis. He writes in Mere Christianity, "If you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did the most for this world were just those who thought the most about the next. It's since Christians have largely ceased to think about heaven that they have become so ineffective on earth." Look at the last part of this again. It's since Christians have largely ceased to think about heaven that they become so ineffective on earth. I read that this week. I had to read it over and over again to let it sink in, and I hope that you will too, because my prayer for us is that a church family, that we wouldn't be ineffective. I pray that we'd keep our hearts and our minds focused on where God has called us. I pray that we'd love well, that people would be with us here, right? Because of how we live, how we use our time, the life that God's given us right here. Right? I pray that we'd follow faithful examples whose minds and whose hearts are on heaven, and that we would avoid examples that would point our hearts and our minds selfishly on the things of this world. Listen, we have to remember our hope is in heaven, and from heaven we await our Savior, Jesus, who, look at verse 21, will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. For me and for you, and our hope is in Jesus, who stepped out of heaven to walk among us so that those of us who believe in him would, through his power, spend an eternity with him in heaven. So while we live on earth, let's make sure that our hearts and that our minds are focused on heaven.
We hope you are encouraged and challenged by what you heard today. If you'd like more information about Champion Forest Baptist Church, our service times, or how you can get connected, visit us at championforest.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and God bless.